Can we turn to your season as captain, 1997-98? Tell us about that.
It was just such a massive honour. I can remember, again, going back, it was when the players still had the vote as captain, while the management could overrule it if they didn't 100% agree with it. You know, it was still predominantly voted by the players, and to be voted in as captain by the players, it was a massive honour for me. Something that perhaps you never thought would happen, and especially to be captain in the professional era, and you know, when Tom Walkinshaw just invested in the club as well, that really raised the profile of the club. As I say, I'll keep repeating, but it was an honour for me. You know, you were chucked in at the deep end a little bit with the press, and you weren't really taught how to handle the press. So, you know, sometimes you would say a throwaway statement, and then you'd see it in the back of the local press, and it, like all good press people, it read completely different to the way you meant it. But that, you know, that's a learning curve, and that's what professional sports are about. It's understanding, you know, not just how to play on a rugby pitch, it's understanding how to behave off a pitch and how to handle publicity. And running out on King's Home, I think Bristol was my first game, and I think it was live on Sky. And, you know, again, there you go, you're captain of Gloucester Rugby Club, and it's on Sky. And it was just, the atmosphere was electric. You know, you get interviewed, I think it was Bristol. You get interviewed after the game and everything like that, and you know, you're just on a cloud, really, floating along. Can't quite believe that it's happening to you.
Are there particular events from that year that stick out in memory?
I think obviously we won the C&G Cup.
There's that picture of you with the
But played Bedford at Northampton. You know, for me as a captain to raise that, it was important at the time to the club, because you'd won a bit of silverware. With regards to the overall competitions, it wasn't a big competition, but you know, we were a club then struggling on the park. You know, we weren't particularly finish high in the league, we weren't doing well in anything else, so to actually be able to bring home a bit of silverware did give us that bit of a boost that year, and you know, it was fantastic.
I think it was a bit of a turning point, really.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. I think there's a lot that goes towards that. I think it was a turning point because we were so far down the track in professionalism, and people on and off the park started to understand the meaning of it better. The players that were coming in were that much more professional. They'd come from professional backgrounds as well, sporting backgrounds. And yeah, I would like to say as captain, it was a turning point in Gloucester's future. But, you know, it was just one of many pieces of the jigsaw what enabled us to turn the corner.
And personally, you played more games and scored more tries that season than any other in your career.
Just looking at that, actually, yeah. And, you know, even then, that was with injury. But, it's amazing how your attitude changes when you know that you've got to lead a team and that you want to be on that part leading that team. You know, whether you're 100% fit or, you know, sometimes 80% fit, you still wanted to be on that park, and you know, you'd do anything you would do to get on the park. Simply because, you know, just looking at those guys down there in the list you've just put in front of me, you know, the people that we talked about, Scott Benton, Phil Rickery, Dave Sims, Deacon, you know, Philip Saint-André, you know, Simon Devereux, Terry Fanlower, Tomsey, those type of guys, were all senior to me, yet I'd become their leader on the park, and I didn't want to let them down. You know, that was always the key for me, is not wanting to let the side down, and that's whether I was a captain or just a player. You know, I always felt if I could come off the pitch, put my hand on my heart, say I've given it my all, then ultimately, you know, I've done the best I could to my ability.
And how much say did you have in the selection of the team as captain?
Well, I'd sit in on the meetings. again, back then, yeah, you were consulted, but you know, it goes back to an era where you had the coaching structure. They predominantly told you what the team were, and if you had any real big reservations, you would then, you know, discuss it at a selection meeting. But you know, in those times, and the same nowadays, there's always going to be one or two as a captain you might think, you know what, I might have picked, you know, X and put X on the, or put Y on the bench, or vice versa. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not very often miles apart from what you would have selected anyway. You know, because those players there were all capable of playing first team rugby, otherwise they wouldn't be there in the first place. Sometimes it's about combinations, but my take on on a combination of a back row might be slightly different to Richard Hill. It's only, you know, your own perspective on it, and sometimes it was right, sometimes it was wrong.
Were you expected to represent the players' interests with the management of the club?
I was actually, when the RPA first formed, I was Gloucester's representative on the RPA. And I can remember, you know, all of a sudden there was a meeting down in London that I had to attend, and, you know, Gloucester were never exactly seen as the forward-thinking team in the leagues. Far from it, actually, but I can remember having to attend the first RPA, and, you know, you had the likes of Martin Johnson, Lawrence Dallaglio, you know, all the big names of the game there, all the RPA representative, and you had to sit in this big room and suddenly discuss players' welfare, you know, and how players should be looked after. Should there be a limit to how many games they play in a season? Should there be a limit to represent? You know, all those things suddenly started to be discussed at the professional era, which was never even considered in the amateur era. It was just, well, if you're fit, you play. Yeah. Whereas it gone professional, where, you know, you've gone from training 2-3 times a week to training 4-6 times a week. Because again, you'd play on a Saturday, you would do something on a Sunday. And that takes its toll on the human body. And, you know, the RPA was formed to try and help protect the players and the, you know, in effect, the players' bodies. And there was a lot of awkward conversations and debates that arose there. And then you should have to come back, feed that back into, you know, the coaching staff or the club committee that more or less thought it was a load of rubbish anyway. You know, and then feed that back into your players, and then very slowly, I suppose, like any union, I suppose you could argue it is, that, you know, it had to be recognised because it gathered pace. It really did gather pace, and you know, the RPA today is a great association.
Yeah. And who were the key people in really making the RPA a success?
I think when the one is when the guy is still there, Damien Hopley. You know, he really don't know too much. You know, again, that was London clubs, and, you know, I'm sure everybody's aware that Gloucester never really mixed with London clubs back then. But you know, that was what these guys, they were, you know, city people, come from a professional business background, and, you know, they saw the need for the protection of the players. So, you know, it was absolutely the right thing to do, really.
That season you were captain as well. I noted, looking through your record, that there was a game against Petrarca Padua which you scored a hat-trick of tries. I think the only hat-trick in your career. Do you remember that?
I do, actually, yes. Italian team, was it?
That's right.
Yeah, I think David Campese was playing for them, if I remember rightly. On the wing, I would like to say I ran round him, but I never did. But I do remember that. It was a beautiful sunny day, and again, it was just the team that we were playing against were good, but they weren't up to our level of fitness, probably, back then. I think it was fair to say, you know, Italy hadn't turned professional, whereas we had, so fitness was bound to take its toll. And I suppose it was just a case of being in the right place at the right time, really, that I was able to score a few tries.
Just how far did you run those tries? Oh,
always from 20 or 30 metres out. You know that, man. That's always the case.
Yeah. About that time, there was also the Worthington Tens tournament.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Painful. That's all I can remember about Worthington Tens, because I was selected a prop. And, you know, again, you know, that's one of the things I was, I think I played a lot on the bench, come off the bench at half-time tactically, but then to suddenly go to the front row, albeit only tens, was, you know, I couldn't move for the next week after that, but it was all made worthwhile because we won it.
Yeah.
It was one of those tournaments that people didn't realise how much success it would have. And again, I think people start to realise that any tournament now that Gloucester represent, there is a genuine interest for it. And to win it, I think we won it 2 years on the trot, actually.
Yeah, that's competition. Right, remember, yeah.
You know, it was just another feather in Gloucester's cap to be able to win a national competition like that.
Yeah. That was good, but I mean, I also remember it very fondly as just a very good day's entertainment.
Yeah, that was some fantastic rugby playing, because
there was more space on
it. Exactly, it wasn't quite as much space as sevens, in which case I wouldn't have even been selected to play. But, you know, with tens, you know, you just had an extra yard or two, so that if there was a gap, you could expose that gap and play from there. And you know, we had some great battles in the tennis competition. Yeah. Really, really exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry that went off the calendar.
Yeah. Yes, me too. I thought there was it was a good balance between sevens and 15-a-side rugby. I thought it really worked well. I can't understand why it didn't take off.
No, I know. I mean, I suppose just one of those things, really. But certainly enjoyable while it lasted, to win it a couple of years, 2 years on the trial. I think Andrew Stanley was captain both years as well. So.
Yeah.